Hey guys, welcome to another Total Nerd List, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. I'm Reggie.
I'm Shane.
I'm Tom.
And this week we have a very special season finale for you. We have the one and only Jordy Marie Games with us in the studio. Jordy.
Hi guys, what's going on?
We are going to be doing we're going to be playing some Dead by Daylight with Jordy and doing our lists. We thought Dead by Daylight would be fitting because this week we're going to be talking about our favorite Final Girl. But before we get into that, how's everybody's week been? Shane, did you do anything fun?
I did. I actually watched a couple of things for this week that are very nerdtastic. I started the second season of Titans, which I own the DVD too, so I'm not watching it on the app. But I really enjoy that show. It is good. One thing that show is also really good at that I'm not so fond of is splitting up its characters. It's also really weird because on the flip side, they're introducing new characters faster than you can blink, but you only get scenes with certain characters together. And I love when that team comes together and they interact. But overall, I'm a huge fan of that show. They've got their own Bruce Wayne. The guy who's playing Bruce Wayne, I like as an actor. I think he looks a little more like Old Man Bruce from Batman Beyond, as opposed to a current Bruce for Titans that Robin is just supposed to have broken away from like a year or so ago. But the other big thing I did this week was I started and caught up completely with WandaVision.
Yeah!
Yes, that show, once the very first episode, I was hooked, could not stop watching. I watched 5 episodes in a day because I started with the first 2 and then I caught up for the rest. And then this morning, I also was grocery shopping like I do every Saturday morning. And then I decided that I was going to get some cereal. And the one of my factors that made me choose cereal I did is that I was looking down the aisle and Cinnamon Toast Crunch now comes with 3 Pokemon cards.
Yeah. Is it only Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
I think so. That's the only one I saw with it. You know, and of course, we all at this point probably know about the Happy Meals that adults are hoarding. So, you know, don't hoard things, guys. But I definitely grabbed a box, even though that wasn't the cereal I was looking for. I love it, so I'll eat it.
You also just blew a generator and casually walked away.
I did.
I've got
this is new. I'm going to have to learn how to talk and play at the same time. But the only other thing I think I did in this week in Nerd was I saw that they have put out a new version of Ghosts and Goblins. It's called Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection. I really enjoy that game. But the only thing they've really done differently is just upgraded the graphics. So if anyone likes really a challenging game and nothing but punishment as you advance, that's the game for you. I'm probably not going to buy the newest version because I have already a dozen older versions and it's literally the same game. Like the game doesn't change. I don't care about the graphics. I kind of prefer the old school ones anyway. But that's been my week. What about you?
Well, that sounds like a good week. Tom, what have you done?
Not very much besides play Dead by Daylight. I read this morning that there's hope for... Have you all ever played Titanfall?
I've not played it, but I know of it.
Or Apex Legends, I guess. I never knew it was the same universe. But apparently EA made an announcement that makes it very hopeful that we'll get another Titanfall game soon. It's kind of like a wall runner game where you can mix with like Gundam, I guess, where you have a giant robot suit you can wear. Really, really fun game that had a very short story mode that I really enjoyed. So I'd really like for them to do that again. Still playing Red Dead Redemption 2. Star Wars Galaxy Heroes, the phone game I play, is releasing a new game mode that I'm really excited about. So I'll probably be able to talk about that next week. But other than that, been a pretty short week.
Very nice. Short weeks doesn't mean it was a bad week. Jordan, have you done anything fun or exciting this week in nerddom?
Well, I just finished Supernatural.
The whole show?
The whole show. I finished it. I loved it. There's a lot of like debates about the ending if people like it, but I actually really, really liked it. That being said, I watched all 15 seasons like within a few months instead of like, watching it over the 15 years like a lot of people did. And then besides that, just playing a lot of Animal Crossing. I now have 3 islands to keep up with. So I just got Terraforming and KK Slider on my no time travel island. And then the like new, I'm sorry, I cannot find any generators.
No, you're good.
The Mario stuff comes out in the next like couple days. I actually already have it. The Warp Pipe is the best item in the game, hands down. You can put it somewhere. You can put it anywhere on your island and then like warp to like the other side of your island to like with a different warp pipe. And it is amazing. It is so, so good.
Nice.
And
I'm excited.
I'm loving it. Like yesterday I had supporters come water my flowers and I put the warp pipe by my airport and then the other one by the flowers. And they came right there. And then we're also getting Sanrio villagers soon.
Hello Kitty.
So I'm very, very excited about that.
I was disappointed that I didn't see like a bad Bart's Maru, the black bat. That was always my favorite Hello Kitty character.
Well, there's only one Hello Kitty one. It's all the Sanrio like character.
No.
Not Hello Kitty one's Hello a gorilla, Kitty. Which I think is really funny.
I'm excited for the furniture. I really want a lot of their furniture because I was looking at it and I was like, I don't know if I like this. And then I really looked at it and all of a sudden I want it.
Yeah, I want the furniture too. That's what I'm holding out for.
Yeah, the furniture is awesome.
Well, for me, my week has been, Dead by Daylight with the family, obsessing about WandaVision. I'm not a big Marvel fan, but this show has really sucked me in and I find myself obsessing about it. I also picked up the game Little Nightmares on my Switch. There was a sale going on with that, and I beat that game, which was disturbing and yet a lot of fun. I definitely got the DLC with it as well, so I'm going to play that, and then I'll pick up the second one. And then other than that, that's really just been my week. The Pokemon announcement yesterday, which announced the remake of Diamond and Pearl, and the new oh, somebody's getting hooked. The new basically looks like Breath of the Wild, but Pokemon, which is exceptionally exciting for me.
Yes.
We didn't even mention that. Isn't today Pokemon Day?
Oh, today the 27th? What is today?
27th.
Yeah, today is the 27th. So it's the 25th anniversary of Pokemon. Happy anniversary, guys.
Yes, happy Pokemon Day.
I've been playing Pokemon since it first came out, apparently.
Same.
We watched the announcement at work together yesterday, and Reggie kept excitedly pawing at me like a happy puppy.
I'm so excited about it. Well, everybody knows how much I am obsessed with Pokemon, so
it was fun to watch the announcement. I am really, really excited about Pokemon Snap.
Pokemon Snap looks insanely awesome.
It looks beautiful. I'm excited.
We are getting messed up by this Demigorgon over here. Which
yes, it's almost open, right?
We had to at least mention my husband Corey is playing as the killer for us while we're playing the game and recording this today. So thank you, Corey. Oh, it looks like a door's open. And we made it out. Nice. Good job, yay, guys.
You did by doing the last Jenny and opening the door.
Nice.
So I did something.
I'm so much better at multitasking than I thought.
Well, since we have a little break, I can go ahead and do my list.
Yes.
Like I mentioned earlier, we are doing our top final girl. Final girls are the ones who end up surviving. I typically think of a final girl as a horror movie survivor. Final girls don't necessarily have to be female, although, you know, the classification of final girl does imply. And they also don't necessarily have to be from a horror movie, I don't guess. When I was looking up ones, because I already knew who my list was going to be for the most part, but when I was looking up folks, there were a couple that were listed that I was like, but she doesn't actually live. How is she a final girl? But that's neither here nor there. So starting out my list, number 5 is Amber Atkins from Drop Dead Gorgeous. Drop Dead Gorgeous is not a horror movie. It is a mockumentary about a beauty pageant in Mount Rose, Minnesota. And the young pageant contestants keep being killed off one by one. It's my favorite movie of all time. I've watched that, I don't even know, 100 times maybe 300. But Amber's the one who ends up surviving and winning the documentary, if you will. Next on my list is not going to be any shock for anybody, but the badass herself, Miss Ripley.
Yes.
Sigourney Weaver's character from the Alien franchise. I think she, you know, embodies that, not necessarily the helpless woman that flips the script, but she embodies just a strong, determined woman from the very beginning. And also, if people would just have listened to her from the first time she said something, then all of the movies could have been avoided. But
yeah, I mean, Alien, the whole moral of the story is that, like, mansplaining is bad. She's like, we need to follow protocol. And they're like, listen, little lady, we're not going to follow protocol at all. And even though this guy got shot by a face hugger.
I think my favorite of all of them besides two would have to be four, Resurrection, when they clone her and it's the, like, Queen Ripley. I think that's my favorite because she's no way, shape, or form helpless in that one.
Mm-hmm.
Just BA all the way. Next on my list is Nancy from the Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes.
I think everybody, Nightmare on Elm Street is a Freddy Krueger movies. If everybody out there listening doesn't know, Freddy Krueger is the one with the knives on his fingers, you know, the long nails. I always thought he should get them painted. But Nancy is the one who Freddy is after pretty much the whole movie and is trying to go after her friends. And she's the one who ultimately gets away from him and then comes back in. Is it 3 or 4 where Nancy comes back with her dad and she's working at the psych ward with the other dream kids? But anyway,
I can't remember. It's one of them.
I loved how she was, you know, she went from a terrorized teen to standing up for herself. I love any kind of thing that has a woman being terrorized and then she flips the script on the person.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. Anyway, the next two on my list were really hard to pick a first and a second spot. They're both from the same movie, and I'm sure you all are going to be so surprised. But Gale Weathers and Sydney from the Scream franchise.
I
was really disappointed that they weren't included in the Scream TV show that they did on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
Or a teeny bopper show of what it was. It was super campy and super terrible, but I could not stop watching it.
I loved it.
I really loved it too. But in the movies, you know, Sydney and Gale were those two characters that just kept surviving each movie time after time after, you know, the events of the first one. And then Sydney goes to college and Gale is still a reporter. And then all of that stuff happens. And then the third one when they're, you know, Gale's got like a TV show and they're making a movie about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just really love the Scream movies in general. I think they're some of my favorite horror movies. Those are ones I could put on at any point in time and just love to watch them.
Same.
So I had to put Sydney and Gale on here. And then for my honorable mention this week, I put Laurie Strode from the Halloween movie franchise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jamie Lee Curtis. You can't think of Halloween and not think of Laurie or Jamie Lee Curtis. So... But that's my week. My list. And then also this week, I had an opportunity to sit down with my friend Jimmy Kerr of Willow Mountain Woodwork, and he gave me his list. And I'm going to share that with you guys. Guys, can you hear me? I'm live on location at the home of my buddy Jimmy Ryan Kerr, also known as Willow Mountain Woodwork.
Hello.
You've heard me mention him a couple times on the podcast, so I wanted to take this opportunity and actually let him come on and you know, share some information with us. But
here I am to share the information.
The information. Well, starting off, have you been nerding out about anything recently or this week?
Pretty much my constant nerding out is just woodworking videos, woodworking articles. It's more exciting than it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's about it.
I've seen some of them. I worked with Jimmy at his wood shop for...
A year?
Yeah, I think it was just like almost right over a year. And so I have also seen several of these videos and articles and things.
I have a terrible memory, so I can't remember what the doodads and the bits are in the
They're
shop.
All doodads and bits. That's just what they're called.
Well, tell us, tell the listeners about you and what you do.
I am a furniture builder, a furniture and cabinet builder, located here in Boone, in our town.
So you do not make shrubbers. You're not a shrubberer.
I'm not a shrubberer. Okay. Unless a nice shrubbery. Yeah. I can do a nice shrubbery. We do cabinets and custom furniture, a lot of dining tables, but just custom stuff, just from the ground up. Rough material, work with customers for, you know, exactly what they need, what they can't find in the store. And they come to me and they're like, I need an odd size. I've got an odd space. I want it to look nice. And I present them a design and a price point, and then we build it from the ground up. And we do some metal fabrication. We do cabinets, live edge stuff.
We did really cool stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You still do. I mean, I'm not doing that anymore. Yeah. But
the Royal, we still do really cool stuff.
I loved working for Jimmy. It was actually a really, really, really fun job that I enjoyed. I loved it a lot more than I realized. So when you do your stuff, so you go and buy a slab of wood, and then what do you do?
Well, as you know, I think your first day, if you were to go from a slab of wood, it's usually not flat. You got to flatten it first.
Which is terrible.
Which is usually not the funnest part. And then once it's nice and flat, you got to sand it, which is terrible. Also not the funnest part. And then fill some voids.
Which is pretty fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
We used epoxy, right, it, and then we taped it off and filled it up, and it made like really fun.
Oh yeah,
epoxy.
I've done a lot of this last year, actually, since you were gone. I've done a lot of color pigment epoxies.
All the cool stuff. When I leave, I see how it is.
I've been talking to a customer about doing one of these river tables that were popular like 2 years ago, but I don't know. I don't know if they're still kind of popular, but I don't know if he's going to go for it.
I think we'll see. Are super cool.
I'm not looking forward to it. It costs a fortune in epoxy, but it would be cool.
You get to charge a fortune then.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't pay for the epoxy. I mean, the customers pay for the epoxy. But that's what I've been doing, man. That's about it. That and, you know, trying to hold off watching WandaVision until I can watch all episodes at once.
Jimmy's family and I and my family, we quarantine together. So we've been in the same bubble.
Your husband says it's quarantine.
Quarantine. So we have spent a lot of time together and we still spend a lot of time together. Yep. And Jimmy has not started WandaVision yet, which has been very frustrating because I haven't really had anybody besides my household to talk to about it. Because Tom has not also not watched it, and Shane has not watched it. Well, Shane had not watched it, but then I think after we did this episode, he has seen it now.
Yeah.
Now that I'm talking to you currently in real time, Shane is caught up and I've been able to talk
to him. It's not my fault that I haven't watched it. It's more the fact that like Netflix, like their shows, like they, you know,
release it all at one time.
And so it's like that binge mentality. Mm-hmm. So, but that's about it. I mean, I've just been waiting on it to be done to watch all of it. So I'm excited about that. And woodworking.
Woodworking. That's all you do.
So woodworking and looking forward to WandaVision. That's what I've been nerding out on.
That sounds
and listening fun. To Total Nerd List.
Oh, Total Nerd List available where all podcasts are available. So what could we do nerd wise at your shop?
At my shop, nerd wise?
What can we do with some wood stuff?
Oh, man. So we've gone to – the first thing that comes to mind is we've gone to the Renaissance Festival several times together over the years. And they always have like the armory kind of stores where they've got kind of like the blacksmiths there. And then they've got kind of the toy weaponry. Mm-hmm. And then they've got the costumes and stuff like that. So the coolest thing – and when we've talked about it before when you talked about making cloaks for – something like that, like doing like wooden shields and swords and stuff.
Wooden swords. Let's make some wooden swords.
Tom, I really want to make metal swords.
Tom and I mean, I would make some metal swords too. Tom and I have actually talked about it in the office about like wanting to come down to the shop, like leaving early or something and going down to the shop and
like a field trip.
Yeah. And be like, hey, knock, knock. Hey, buddy, can we play? And you want to play today? Like, let's distract you from making real money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'd charge you. To come in.
He says that, but he would. He loves me too much.
So that would be the first thing. I mean, like the cosplay in general, we've talked about it a lot, but like there's I love process. You know, like I love just making in general. So the whole maker space of like whether you're working with foam, like Kaizen foam or any of the more rigid like plastics or what have you in cosplay or whether it's hand tooling like leather. That's really cool. I mean, I've never done blacksmithing. That would be really cool. So like
no, but we have welded.
Yeah.
We straight up welded stuff when I worked in that shop.
Yeah,
that
was, still do.
Yeah. That still was do. Fun.
Yeah. Doing less metal work now, but I think that would be, that'd probably be the biggest overlap. I think, I don't know. You could, I mean, as you know, like theater nerd stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we both did theater.
We made those theater sets.
Yeah. Oh, the rolling ones.
The rolling scenes.
Yeah, for Beanstalk.
Yeah, Beanstalk Community Theater.
Doing stuff like that. I mean, I feel like that falls into nerddom.
That's why I wanted you to be on here, because I knew you were really a nerd with
the rest of us. Oh, yeah.
Well, and Jimmy doesn't remember me, but we also were in the same circles back in high school, too, so we've...
I don't remember a lot of high school.
Yeah, I know.
I don't remember most evenings.
Well, it's... all right, all right. It's been like 150 years at this point since we were in high school, too, so... All right, well, Willow Mountain Woodwork. You can find him on Facebook. You can find him on Instagram.
Yeah. Instagram, Willow Mountain,
Facebook, you have a Willow LinkedIn? Mountain.
Yeah, don't have a LinkedIn because there's not a photo of me looking presentable. So
we can stage one.
I don't know if we can.
I got a green screen. We can do it.
Okay.
Where else can people find you?
Really, Instagram and Facebook, because I'm an old fogey, are about the two places. And you can also look at my website, Willow Mountain. That's willowmtn.com. You just kind of see stuff there, and then you can contact me through that if you care, if you need, you know, some cabinets or a sweet table.
He also does like cutting boards
and gifts,
you know, if you need something small and cute and affordable, like, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll do just about anything.
Come by my house. You can see a lot of his stuff. My house is decked out with Willow Mountain Woodwork stuff, so... Well, this week is also our season finale, which is why we're doing interviews, and I definitely wanted to make sure I included you. We're talking final girls.
Final girls.
Ladies who survive horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
You got a list for me?
Oh, I got a list. Mm-hmm. I got a list. I don't know how much I stuck to the rules or not.
That's okay. There's never rules until there's rules, and then rules are made for breaking.
Okay, so. Okay, cool. Well, let's see if we... Let's see if we can break some rules here. So, my list is not in any particular order, and it's not my actual top five. It's just the five that I think no one else on would have, and also that I liked a good bit. So, I was trying to go that route. So let's start with Samara Weaving's character in Ready or Not. Grace.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know those are my favorite kinds of movies.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Oh, yeah. It's great because Samara Weaving is like she's like niching out her spot in like horror movies, you know? And that's not all she does, but like the ones that she's in are fantastic. And that one in particular, like quintessential Final Girl. I mean, she gets messed up in that. And then.
I love
you know,
Turn the Tables.
Yeah.
I love a Turn the Tables movie.
Yeah.
And that's what that is. That's the, she goes to marry into the family and she has to play the game. And then it's hide and seek, basically.
Marries into the rich family and then they go crazy.
Yeah.
And that's the premise. You know, and it starts out as luck, which is always kind of the Final Girl thing. Like the survival starts out as luck. And then it's like but you can be stronger.
She literally was dealt a bad card.
Ho
ho.
Yeah.
I'm funny. I'm the funny one. Tom and Shane aren't here to argue with me. I'm going to say I'm the funny one.
So for the second one, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, our girl, specifically from 10 Cloverfield Lane. Again, one of those ones that, like, that one's not like the slasher film where, like, a lot of people die. I mean, a lot of people do die in that movie.
A lot of people die in the franchise.
Yeah, but she goes through a lot, and, you know, I mean, it doesn't spoil anything. It's Final Girl list. She obviously comes out in the end, but...
Well, it doesn't even... Well, because Cloverfield is normally known as the alien movie, and then... Because that's the middle one, right?
That's... Yeah, that's the one inside the bunker.
With John Goodman.
Yeah, and the guy from... oh, I hate that. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
He's been in a lot of stuff I like, but that guy, I just haven't committed him to memory yet.
Go look him up. How about that?
Yeah.
Let's give his IMDb page a ping since we can't remember his name.
We'll link it. You hear that? We'll link it. But yeah, I thought she was really good in that, and I thought that, because she, like, God, spoiler, she, I mean, the movie's like 12 years old. She breaks free at the end and then realizes...
She's held in a bunker.
Yeah, and then there's, like, monsters. And
she
then
doesn't
like,
believe that the end of the world has happened.
It's so good.
And then she breaks out, and then there's
she's like, final girl ellipses question mark.
Yeah, because
we don't know. 10 minutes
later,
she
survived the movie.
Yeah.
And that's what we kind of said. She needs to survive a movie.
So the next one I've got is Imogen Poots. And Maggie likes her name as well. Imogen Poots, her character is Riley Stone in the remake of Black Christmas.
Ooh, is that the one with at the sorority house? Uh-huh. I love that movie.
So the original one,
Michelle Trachtenberg is in that one.
The original one, apparently, I've never seen it from the 70s, but the original one is like hailed as a great Final Girl movie. I haven't seen it. I watched the other one on a whim, and I thought it was really cool. It's a kind of a cool twist near the end. A lot of girl power there. She's like one of several final girls in the movie, but she's the lead in the movie. So
they like flip the script.
Oh yeah.
I love a flip the script movie. Yeah.
You get to see the oppressed, beat people with, fraternity paddles and like a satisfying way.
Yeah.
So that's good. The next one that I've got, and this is where I kind of go a little off.
Going rogue, huh?
Going rogue.
All right.
going rogue. Ash. Ash versus, or Ash in the Evil Dead franchise.
Ashley J. Williams.
Ashley himself.
Thomas has him on his list.
After last episode, I thought he might. Because you guys mentioned him last.
I'm pretty sure he does.
He's a final girl in spirit. No matter what is thrown at Ash, he takes it in stride and is the victor.
Well, and how many are there? Four movies?
Three with him. Really only two stories. The first movie.
The second is a remake sequel.
Yeah.
And then the
Army of Darkness.
Is there not an Army of Darkness 2?
No.
I made that up.
Yeah.
Apparently. Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe I'm from the other dimension.
I wish there was. Well, there's Ash versus Evil Dead, which is a they did three seasons of that, and it's a continuation of the storyline from Army of Darkness.
I really don't know where in my mind I made up that there was a. I couldn't tell you what the storyline was, but I swear I remember seeing. I mean, yeah, obviously,
yeah, Deadites.
That's why I said four movies, because in my...
It feels like there's a lot of movies. But yeah, I mean, like, Sam Raimi, Bruce Campbell, you can't beat it. He survives insurmountable odds. I feel like it counts.
It counts.
Okay. So in that vein of not being a lady, I actually like Ed Norton as Will Graham from Red Dragon. And... he survives not one, but two pretty epic serial killers.
Because the Red Dragon,
Do
You See?
Yeah, Do You See?
And then
Transformed.
Hannibal as well.
Yeah, because they open it with with Hannibal.
Yeah.
You know, stabbing him or what have you. And then later you get Ralph Fiennes coming after him and he walks away from all of that.
Voldemort.
True. He's got a nose in this one. Okay. He's got a nose. Some jacked up teeth.
I saw that. I don't remember if it came out when I was in high school or not, but I saw that in high school mm-hmm. with my mom. And because my mom always watched all the scary movies mm-hmm. with me because that was our thing. And I remember being freaked out about that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he put like glass in their eyes?
Yeah, he put a mirror in their eyes so he could see himself.
No, that was weird.
Yeah, but yeah, Ed Norton in that. I think that's one of Eddie's best roles.
Fight Club.
Yeah, that one's good too. But he's not a final girl in that. So
he's not a final girl.
Doesn't.
No.
I mean, I guess he kind of could be.
There's not like a serial killer
against himself.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. He survived being Brad Pitt.
He survived so lucky. Being crazy. if I go.
If only. And then, so that's my five. And then I've got three. Is it fair to have three honorable mentions?
No, but we'll. No, I'm just kidding.
So I've got Ripley from the Alien franchise because you got to.
I mean, obviously.
She survived. Sarah Connor.
Mostly.
I got Sarah Connor from Terminator.
Oh, one and two. That never even crossed my mind. Because, I mean, that's like an ultimate survival.
Oh, yeah.
Final girl.
Like, she kind of, like, survived the future.
Mm. But she didn't even have to live it to survive.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah. She, like, currently survived the
but
future.
But does that mean she had to survive the present so she can live the future?
Yeah, I mean,
which
yeah.
will we all ultimately come back and force her to have to survive it?
I mean, I don't know when Sarah Connor gets extinguished in the timeline, because
yeah, I don't
like
know that
they made a TV show, they made other movies.
There
without,
was, I'm
Linda
pretty
Hamilton.
Sure there was a. I'm pretty sure that there's a new one with Linda Hamilton in it that I should
yeah I think it came out last year
not seen
yeah
and we should watch that one because I bet there's answers in that one.
Yeah, I bet she dies in
family
that.
Movie night.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, we should
we'll do
that. And then my last honorable mention is the actress Sarah Polley. She plays Amy in Dawn of the Dead, the remake.
The
from
nurse?
Like 2004. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
She survived.
She survived.
The last thing you
she
see
does.
Is like she's on the boat.
I saw that movie in theaters with my mom
mm-hmm.
on Valentine's Day because I broke up with a girlfriend
mm-hmm.
then. Now, I don't know if it was on Valentine's Day, but it was around it. I know it was
mm-hmm.
a jerk move. But
yeah,
I was,
that was a jerk
and,
move.
I was young and gay and needed to come out.
Sure,
so.
Sure.
But to cheer me up, my mom took me to go see that movie.
That's a great movie.
At the end of that movie, though, isn't there like camcorder footage of them?
Yeah, but she's still alive.
Yeah, she's still alive. We don't know
so
what
she's
happened.
She's a final girl. But she's an honorable mention, so.
I like your list.
Thanks. It took me, I don't know, 10 minutes?
10 minutes?
Yeah.
To come up with it?
I carved out 10 minutes of my life for this.
Wow.
Boom.
Well. Tell us who you are and why you're here again.
I am Jimmy Kirk from Willow Mountain Woodwork. I'm here because I was invited to talk about...
He forced his way on.
to talk about the Final Girls and present my list.
I appreciate it, buddy.
I appreciate it.
Where can we find you again?
WillowMountain.com, Instagram at Willow Mountain, and Facebook, just search Willow Mountain Woodworking.
Tell them Total Nerd List sent you.
Yep.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Jimmy. That was awesome.
Well, since we've got Miss Jordy here with us, Jordy, would you like to share your list with us?
Absolutely. So first on my list, and this isn't a specific final girl, but basically in the American Horror Story, the most recent season, the 1984 season, the final episode is called Final Girl. And they
mm-hmm.
set up in any of the marketing that you're going to find out who that final girl is. And so it's kind of like playing into the trope, who that final girl is going to be that whole episode. And it goes through twists and turns. And I actually really, really liked that season. It's definitely not my favorite season by any chance, but I just really like things that play into the trope.
This is the summer camp one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the most recent season because they didn't have a season this last fall. Next on my list, I have Allison from Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yes. Hey, college kids, we got your friends.
Yes, absolutely. So I'm not actually sure. I mean, she does survive. I'm not actually sure if she qualifies as the final girl because she doesn't really fight herself. But I really like her, like, character growth, how she starts out, like, scared, and then it ends up being kind of like a love story. And, I mean, it's a comedy horror movie, and I always just really loved it. I haven't seen it in years, but I used to watch it, like, all the time, and now it's not really on streaming anywhere.
It really got popular, and once it got popular, it, like, yeah, took it down off of the streaming services.
Yeah. And then my next final girl is Dana Polk from Cabin in the Woods, who also may not actually count. Because
she does.
But she's set up to be the final girl. She's set up as that virgin character. And if she had been the final girl, everything would be fine. Like, everything the movie set up to be would have worked out. And so I think that's, like, an interesting way that they turned that.
Mm-hmm.
And then my next final girl is Sarah Carter from The Descent.
Oh, the Descent movies. Those are so good.
They're so good. I'm, like, super claustrophobic. So, like, the Descent movies and them being, like, local to here in Western North Carolina, the mountains in North Carolina, they are caving, like, right off the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Could be our backyard.
Like, literally. Mm-hmm. And so just that movie. And then her whole character growth, how she starts out as kind of, like, pathetic, but then she ends up growing, like, towards the end. I just really, really like that in a final girl character. And then
fun little story about The Descent. At the end of the first movie, you see a blue Jeep, like a blue colored Jeep vehicle. That was once owned by my friend Jeremy.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. When they came up to film that movie, they needed to find, like, a junker car, and they bought that off of him.
That is so cool.
I need to watch that movie because she was on, like, every final girl list I looked up.
Have you not ever seen the Descent movies?
No, I haven't.
Ooh, we should totally get together and watch those. Those are really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, like, two different endings, which I find fascinating that they, like, released a different, like, ending for, like, the different audiences.
Depending on where you were.
Yeah. So the American ending is, like, much, like, lighter than, like, the European ending. And my final girl is, of course, Laurie Strode. I love Halloween so much. It's one of my favorite, like, haunted houses I've ever been in.
Really?
Yeah. They did it at Halloween Horror Nights at Universal a few years back, and it was just amazing. I loved it so much. It was actually really funny. There was one of the rooms that had a bunch of Michael Myers in it, and, like, three of them were real people, and the rest of them were dummies and, like, strobe lights.
Holy crap.
My brain doesn't, like, comprehend strobe lights too well. And so at one point I just ran into one of the Michael Myerses and, like, like, one of the real ones. And I just, like, apologized to him because that was my mindset. But yeah, just Lori and Halloween in general. I just love it. And I had to include it on the list.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Michael Myers. I didn't mean to step on you.
I want to go to a haunted house so bad.
I love being scared, but I hate being scared at the same time. So I'm not a giant fan of haunted houses. I normally go through it holding on to somebody with my eyes closed. Well, Jordan, that's a pretty awesome list. I think all of those females on there are worthy final girls.
Yes.
Tom, you got to get on watching that Descent movie. That's definitely high quality horror movie right there. And then just go ahead and watch the second one too.
I have to get on watching a lot of horror movies because reading the final girl list, it was like, I mean, I'd seen some of them, but it's been a while. And so I was like, I would have done Laurie Strode because I just love Jamie Lee Curtis. But I don't remember much from Halloween. It's been a while.
So. I love that you had a American Horror Story girl on yours because I thought about that, but she just wasn't my favorite. So I really appreciate that you put that on your list.
Yeah. I also didn't want to pick the final girl either in case people are still, like, wanting to watch it because it's pretty recent. So I just wanted to touch on that's, like, what that episode is about.
Now that I've had a second to think about it, I do remember that final episode. Gosh, makes me want to watch horror movies all day now.
Yes, especially Scream.
I didn't even think about American Horror Story. I probably would have had Sarah Paulson from Asylum as one of mine if I had thought ahead.
That was a rough season to watch.
Rough season, and then you kind of didn't like her in the end. So I guess, I don't know.
Well, Shane, what you got on your list this week?
All right. So this week, my list starts out with what I guess is sort of the unofficial, but maybe official final girl. And that is Miss Sally Hardesty from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Which is who I would be, apparently, if I was my zodiac sign based off of who you are.
Yes. You know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre is like the unofficial first like slasher movie. And since she's the only survivor, that makes her like the first survivor girl. So I really like that movie. I remember, you know, my parents don't listen. So like I snuck to Abington with some of my friends to see the remake in 2004.
Ooh.
And then I got my comeuppance when I came home. And I don't know what my family was doing, but they were out. And I didn't get home till like 11-ish or something. And I have neighbors that are kind of slightly weird, but they were doing some tree work in the night, and I heard chainsaws, and I was like, that's my lesson for sneaking off to see that movie.
By yourself, huh?
Well, I mean, I was with some friends, but I was at home by myself when that was going on.
Creepy.
Next on my list, I gave her her own spot, Miss Gail Weathers from Scream.
Yes. Courtney Cox Arquette. Well,
yes, and I think I love her so much because she is Courtney Cox, but I do like the character Gail Weathers, and I don't want them to kill her.
I'm worried about Scream 5 because it just doesn't feel like anybody's going to be safe for the new one that's coming.
I know. I'm worried about that too, and I need them to survive. But next, moving right along on my list, Miss Laurie Strode from Halloween.
Laurie herself.
Yes, I have to include her too. Halloween was also another one of those first slasher movies I got into before Scream came, because I was into horror movies when I was very young. So she has to be on my list. And coincidentally, in the latest movie of that where she comes back, I work with a coworker whose name is Lori, and they really like uncannily look alike.
You're talking about the new one with Judy Greer as her daughter?
Yes.
I really liked that one. I thought it was excellent.
I haven't seen it yet, but I need to.
The one thing I did feel bad about it is that they basically, with that movie, they made Halloween H2O not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where Josh Hartnett was her son.
Yeah.
I really like that version. We lost Jordy. We lost Jordy.
No.
She was sacrificed to the entity.
Oh. All right. Next on my list, so it's kind of two people, because I could not include one without the other, and some people might, you know, argue this is not a true horror movie, but I had to include Miss Cindy Campbell and Brenda Meeks from the Scary Movie franchise.
Yes!
Oh, I love those movies so much, and especially Brenda Meeks is one of my favorite characters, and I know she dies sometimes, but she always survives, which makes her a final girl.
I remember watching the second Scary Movie and being so confused, because her death scene in the first one at the movie theater is probably like the funniest thing I had ever seen when I was a kid.
Oh, I know. I loved it, but I was so upset because I'm like, it's Brenda. And especially the second one too is probably my favorite for that chasing scene when Sydney's being chased by the skeleton.
Oh my gosh. My friend Maggie and I yell that at each other all the time. Would you run from Calista Flockhart?
And, you know, and of course they gave us Anna Faris. So
I didn't even think about including those on here.
Oh, I love them so much. And so they had to make my list, but they couldn't be number one, but they're very high on my list. When finally that brings us to my number one choice, Miss Sydney Prescott from Scream. Scream is probably my favorite slasher series. I watched the TV series and I really enjoyed them. They were campy. I love campy though. I watch soap operas, so of course I love campy.
Did you watch the third season when they moved it to VH1?
I did.
I really thought Tyga, isn't that what his name was? The rapper.
Yeah.
I was so surprised at how well he did in that role.
Yes, and CJ Cryer as well.
And Mary J. Blige was in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the show. Like, I liked the third season. I hate that we lost all those first two season characters and have, like, no update on them, what they're doing, where's the end of their story.
Well, they kind of gave us an update with that Halloween episode.
True, but I mean, oh no, I wanted more. I wanted more closure for them, and just, I don't know, I still feel like it had a lot of loose ends, but I do really enjoy that series. And I thought, like, for a moment, you know, getting down to my honorable mentions now, which I only have one, but my first thought was Emma Duvall from the Scream TV series, but I decided no on her. I thought about a hot minute for the Chanels from Scream Queens, because they are Survivor girls, even though it's mostly by accident.
not anything they did themselves. Just
exactly. But my choice, and it's kind of a spoiler, and I don't want to ruin it because a lot of people haven't seen this movie, but I choose the Survivor girl from a movie called Behind the Mask, The Rise and Fall of Leslie Vernon.
Oh.
It is a documentary type movie where this reporter is following a serial killer who is preparing for his own slasher night. And in this world, like Freddy, Jason, all of them have existed. And that's why she's doing this report, is to kind of like get inside the head of a serial killer like that. And as the series goes on, you think there's going to be a survivor girl, because they talk about it. He's chosen his survivor girl. And they talk about like what it means for him, for her to be the survivor girl. But it turns out to be someone else. And that's a spoiler I really don't want to give. It is a tremendous, tremendous movie that I recommend anyone go see for a really great final girl. And it overall is just such a good movie and a different take on the slasher horror series.
That sounds so interesting. You have to send me a message with the name of the movie again. I want to look that up.
Absolutely. And of course, because I am a DVD collector, I have it on DVD, so I can let you borrow it as well.
Oh, makes it even easier on me.
Yes. So that's my list. And before we move on to Tom's list, this week you've heard us promote him and his book. I sat down with Mason Blevins and gave him a short interview. Hey, everyone, it's Shane, and I am sitting here with our good friend, Mason Blevins, who you've heard us give shout-outs to almost every single episode of Season 1. He is the author of 34 Degrees, so we thought it would be fun to introduce him to you guys and let you guys hear a little bit about his book from his own mouth. Hi, Mason.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. I hope you are, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really, really appreciative that you've allowed me to, you know, come here and talk a little bit about it. It means a lot to me, and just, you know, being able to catch up with you as well.
Yes, I'm really excited you could do this too. And I'm also excited that people can actually hear you and hear what you have to say about your own work. So we will dive right into it. But I guess before we get to your actual book that you've written, we always ask all of our guests, what are a few things that you nerd out on?
Well, the obvious answer most people probably know is Walking Dead. You probably know that pretty well. I try my best not to miss an episode. You know, I've not caught up on Fear of the Walking Dead yet, just because I can't watch it anywhere. Every time I try, my internet always crashes or my phone crashes.
Oh, no.
But played all the games. Telltale games are still my favorite. Except not season 3. I try not to talk about season 3 of the Telltale games too much. But apart from Walking Dead, Dungeons and Dragons, or just fantasy in general, is one of my favorite go-tos. I could sit there and talk about that probably way too much. And theater, just all of art in general, you know, theater, writing, anything like that. It's just one of my passions.
Awesome. And Pokemon too, right?
Yes, and Pokemon. I've been running a Pokemon Emerald Nuzlocke recently, and I got 4 badges before I lost anybody, and I lost my Blaziken, I lost my Kabuskin, which I named Alberta. not even to the fifth gym leader. I lost him to a random trainer because I panicked because I had out a Pokemon that was, sadly, it was going to die, and I switched in Alberta because she was one of my tanks, and she was also very, very weak against the other Pokemon, and she got one shot, and that was a sad day for me.
Oh, well, hopefully you'll find her
but
again.
Anyway, Pokemon Emerald, definitely my favorite. Gen 3 overall is one of my favorites, and I was so excited when they announced ages ago now that they were remaking them from Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. And now I'm hoping, coming up on the 27th, I believe it is, I'm hoping that they're going to announce remakes of Gen 4, because that was actually the generation I was introduced to Pokemon in. First one I ever played, first Pokemon game I ever played was Pokemon Pearl, and it left just such an imprint. So many little quirks that they have added since then, since I went back and I've replayed them all. every generation since then, except I actually skipped Sun and Moon for some reason, and I'm not sure why. Then picked back up with Sword and Shield. But anyway, yeah, I could probably sit and talk about Pokemon all day too. I have a huge Pokemon card collection. I've got, you know, I've got the like full face holos, the really old pocket monster cards, which I sent you guys pictures of. And I've got this really, really old, just gold metal Pokemon card that I found it on the ground one day, actually. And that was, I've treasured it ever since because it was the only one like it I'd ever seen.
Oh, that is so lucky. That is awesome. All those things are really awesome that you nerd out on. And I, you know, like all of us, there's probably a million other things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, for sure.
So we'll dive right into questions about your book, if that is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What do you have?
Awesome. So could you tell us a little bit about 34 Degrees?
So 34 Degrees is an apocalyptic horror novel. And it basically follows the story of this woman, April, who is unjustly kicked out from this government bunker years after the world is kind of frosted over. And the reason is she was pushing back against the corrupt leader for their unjust rules. And she gets imprisoned. And it's kind of this whole, you know, it's this, is it or is it not population control that they're being sent out for? Because they're given this task they have to complete, but is it really feasible is the whole question. But then it kind of spirals into this whole deal of, is the world outside really, you know, is it really how they've been fed to believe it is? Or is the whole kind of deal that they're kind of just, you know, feeding them lies to keep them captive in fear?
Very cool. And it's an amazing book. I've read it myself. I really enjoy it because I also love apocalyptic style and horror as well. And you mesh them together very well. All right. Next question. How long did it take you to write this book?
Just slightly under 3 years from the first word being written, which was actually written not even at my house. It was over at, you know, it was over at Aiden's house, and it was the middle of the night, and I just got done running through some stuff, which I guess I can get into later. And after that inspiration kind of hit, I struck down an absolute mess of the first chapter that's been revised 800 times since then. And that was really the first couple months of 2018. And then it came out in the very end of 2020, November 28th, 2020, I believe is when it came out. So it really, it's just a matter of just a few months shy of 3 years that it took.
That is really awesome.
It ranks in at about 106,000 words total, 99,000 if you're not counting the sequel preview in the back.
Which is a little bonus for any readers.
It is. I think there is some good stuff in there. I think personally, I think there's some good juicy details in there.
There are. It's really great. And you mentioned, you touched upon your inspiration. Was there like anything that was specifically your inspiration for that?
Overall, I would think just my love for apocalypse in general. And, you know, the old saying of write the story that you want to see. But really, once I was over with Aiden and I was bouncing a couple of ideas, and I showed him my mock-up title, which was originally titled like 349, which was going to be this whole deal about how long it's been since the original crash. But all of that was scrapped instantly and replaced with this whole new world. Once he misread my original title, as instead of 349, he misread the 9 as a degree symbol, and he said, oh wow, 34 degrees. So instantly, once I heard that title, this entire idea of, you know, this absolute planet, this planet teetering just on absolute frozen, or is it or isn't it? And it's just chilled all the way around. It all came rushing into the point where I couldn't sleep that night. I was getting so many ideas. And then that's kind of when I dug into drafting down my first mess of a chapter that night.
Wow. I don't think I even knew that bit about the title. That is really amazing.
Oh, really? Wow. I figured I blab about it a lot. I'm surprised I haven't said something about it before.
I mean, I don't recall it, but I really think I learned something new today. That's awesome. So could you
absolutely.
Sorry. Yes. Could you briefly describe your publishing process and what that was like for you?
Yeah. So I, for anybody who's read the book knows, there's probably a few twists that, at least in my eyes, traditional publishers wouldn't spring for. I won't give any details because I don't want to spoil anything, but that is why I decided to go with self-publishing through lulu.com, which has an excellent global distribution program. And I think starting like early this month in February, it was like ebooks are now like $4.99 to get on their program or something like that. Nothing crazy at all, but really it helps you, you know, get your book way out there. And it's been crazy because I found it on like overseas websites in like Japan and the United Kingdom and all kinds of stuff. But really it was, this was my first experience learning how to, you know, make the cover myself because I'm poor and learn the format myself because I'm poor. And really that whole deal that went into it. And my first actual physical proof copy I ordered, I printed it in 11-point font and it was a mess to try and read and go through and red pen. And I never formatted the pages either. So it was trying to print like computer sizes for like this 9x6 book. And then later I was, you know, messing around after I was looking at it and trying to read this tiny print with, you know, and it hurt my eyes. So I realized that's probably not good. So I toyed around with it, got some formatting done, and eventually decided on lulu.com because I had previously run my script unnamed through there to see all about their process, how they kind of worked. And really, it was pretty user-friendly. They, you know, they can be a little lax on instructions at times, but if you know what you're doing, it's a really nice program. And I ordered my first proof copy that came in. I actually screwed it up, so I had to order two original proof copies, which costed more than I was expecting, which was a bit of a problem. And once that was all in, all I had to do was hit approve, send it to the global market, and like that day it was out there and I could share the link. And so I ordered like 15 author copies, which I've already sold. I sold quite a while ago, actually. I gave some to like free libraries, not too many. And other than that, I've sold them all for profit. I'm actually nearing, I haven't checked today, but last time I checked, I was nearing my 80th sale, which is fantastic. Ooh. And way, way higher than I ever expected. You know, I put this thing out there and I was really, really honestly expecting it never to go above, you know, 4 or 5, which I figured would be all friends and family that have just supported me along the way. But it's been absurd. I've gotten so many 5-star reviews just from people I don't know over the internet who have ordered it and supported me and reached out and asked, you know, so what about this aspect of your world? Or why is this like this? And it's just been, it's been so incredible to see so many people come together as like a little community hubbed around my little story that I had, you know, 3 years ago, I just stroked down out of random middle of the night inspiration at 2 in the morning.
That is really great. And that's great on your sales because it's only been out for a couple of months.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nearing the 3-month mark. It will, what is today? Today's like the 25th or something. I'm not sure.
24th.
Is it the 24th? Okay. So in like 4 days or, you know, earlier than that, by the time this goes up, it will be like just a couple of days away. February 28th, it'll be up for 3 months. And it's had absurd, just absolutely insane hype and support from everybody. It's really blown my mind.
Yay. Congratulations. That's really an amazing feat, especially considering you self-published and you're coming on 3 months and you're nearing the 3-digit mark, which is really cool.
Yeah, I originally set myself a yearly goal. So like November 28th, 2021, to have my, to sell my 100th copy. And that was blowing it way out of the water. Just, you know, living the dream right there would be if I could sell 100 copies in a year, which would be like, I don't know, something really lowballing it, like 0.35 or some copies a day. Mathematically, I didn't sit there and do the math on that. That's like a guess. But there was a solid point where I was running, you know, back when I launched there, I was running like a copy a day and it slowly dwindled down, 'cause, you know, hype, lowered back around Christmas, and you know, everybody was spending money on more important things to buy or more big brand name things. But then it started to pick back up again, especially because, you know, I just got done with my Valentine's sale, which was absolutely fantastic. I couldn't have wished for that to go any better than it did. And it's another crazy thing is just, I never really know how many copies I've sold at this moment. Cause like when I sell through a channel that's not Lulu, like Amazon or LSI or anything like that, it can take like 6 to 8 weeks before it shows up on my sales log. So like I could be sitting here at like 90 sales right now, but I wouldn't know it till like the middle of March. So sometimes it's just a guessing game. You never really know.
Very cool. That is really cool. So was there anything that you left out of this book, like a character or a plot twist you decided to drop on the floor?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There was quite a few of those. Originally, Gordon wasn't going to play a major role at all, which a few people have found pretty crazy. He was originally going to be just a, you know, one-off character for the beginning. I left out a minor character whose name was going to be Casey. I left out a character named Maya, which is actually making her appearance in another book. And I did leave out, I left out a whole storyline about Flamebridge at the end of the book, because it would not have worked with where the rest of the story is going, because like, it's just one of those ideas that like, you know, you would have loved to see come to life, but sadly it doesn't fit in with either the story right now or with the world in general.
Exactly. So, sometimes you got to give things the axe.
Exactly. It's what's the saying, like kill your darlings.
Yes, very much so. And writers, we got to do that.
Yeah, you do. It hurts sometimes. But you got to do what you got to do.
So the next few questions as we near our wrapping up point are more general questions. Would you ever consider writing under a pseudonym? Because you published as yourself. So would you ever consider writing under a pen name, as some people call them?
There was, of course, the idea floated through my head like it does everybody, I'm sure. But overall, it was never really a serious thought, because I was already really trying to make a name for myself in theater anyway. Mm-hmm. So it kind of naturally just fell along that same kind of cadence of, but why not, you know, use it to help get my name out there more? If, you know, if people like my theater, maybe they can check out my book. If they like my book, maybe they can check out what I've done in theater. To me, it can kind of intertwine with each other.
I completely agree. And I'm right there with you. Do you have a certain writing style? Like, are you one of those people that does your best writing in the morning, or are you one of those night owl writers, or do you listen to music when you write, anything like that?
Overall, I think I typically navigate more towards nighttime, but there was a brief period where I was like waking up and I had to get it done then and there. So I would just say it's really pretty sporadic, because like, sometimes it's like if we're out and about and just like waiting in the car and I've got like an hour to kill before we have to like pick somebody up, or we're waiting at the vet or anything like that. And, you know, everybody's calm, maybe taking a nap, and the car's just really quiet. Mm-hmm. I can usually, you know, sit there and get some writing done. It's more about just, I guess, when it hits me and I'm not like in the middle of driving or something where I couldn't possibly access any form of writing.
I feel that so.
For music, I tend to navigate more towards silence, because I did write an entire chapter of 34 Degrees while I listened to All Star over and over, which was a huge mistake on my part, and that required a lot of editing. I don't know why I did it. It was like 3 a.m. and I was sitting there just like, yeah, All Star. And for some reason, at the time, I thought it was a great idea, and that chapter ended up a mess. I've tried since then to, you know, listen to different songs, and I've got to have silence so I can really fully envelop myself in the world and the characters and what's going on, so I can get that clear mental image and really transport myself to their world.
Same. I'm the same way again, right there with you. I'm like, I can pick out songs that would be on like the soundtrack unofficially, but I can't.
Yeah.
While I'm writing.
Right. Exactly. And I've even, for some of my other stuff that I'm working on that isn't even into, you know, the same world as this book, I've got ideas for songs that I think would fit in great at different plot arcs or points, but not necessarily something I could sit down and listen to while writing it out. Like if it were like a TV show or movie, maybe they'd have it overplaying the scene, but like not while I'm sitting there typing out the words.
So where do you write best? Or like, where do you do your best writing?
Probably on my bed. I just sit there and I tippity tap it out. Or the couch. The couch can be a really good option if it's a really calm morning. Maybe people haven't got up yet, or it's just overall quiet and, you know, the animals aren't screaming and making a mess and knocking things over. Or sometimes it does come from like those random one-off times when you're just sitting in the car waiting at like the vet's office or whatever. And you just have like an hour to kill. So, you know, I'll break out my phone and I'll just start
get it down.
Typing away. And yeah. Because those times really give me some time to think and really plot through some stuff. And you got to do it when it's there. But overall, I'd say I've done the majority of my writing either on my couch when it's calm, either late at night. Or I guess it would technically be early morning at like 2 a.m. or sometimes if I, you know, wake up and I have to get it done right there, I'll just roll over in my bed and sit up and start at it.
Wow. Those are completely different times than when I do it, but that's still really awesome. And I applaud you for being able to do that when you can. You mentioned before very briefly, so we can let all the fans know and all the people that have read your book, is there an official sequel in the works to 34 Degrees?
Yes, there is. And so far its name is Heatwave, and it's about 60,000-ish words done, which is about half of what I'm expecting so far. It's going to start following a whole new cast of characters, including Maya, who was briefly mentioned before. She'll be in it. Mm-hmm. And I actually have I think it's going to be a pretty exciting and totally unseen mind flip coming at the end of it that's going to relate to quite a few characters and places that we have seen before, all kind of coming together and unfolding, and really, I guess, just showing how the whole story is intertwined, even a few little bits that we think might just be here to show this section and then we move out of it. But right now, I started working on it back in October before 34 Degrees was ever actually released, just so I could get a good sense of where it was going before I added the sequel preview into the back. And since then, I've worked my way up to 60-ish thousand, maybe about like 60,300 or so words through the first draft, which is way greater than I ever expected, because, you know, it took me like 2 years to get through the first draft, not including the editing or anything of 34 Degrees. So this one seems to be moving quite a bit faster, but I guess that is also to be expected when it's, you know, you're not building up from nothing. You have a basis and a kind of a plot you want to follow. But overall answer, yes, there will. And hopefully, if all goes well, another after that.
That is really cool. You guys heard it here first. I want to thank you for your time, Mason, and thank you for letting us interview you and talk about your book, 34 Degrees. Would you like to plug yourself in your book to our legions and millions of fans?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you guys for letting me come. Easiest places to get a hold of me would be Facebook. My page is just my name, Mason Steve Levins. I have an Instagram under the same name, except it's like Mason underscore C underscore Blevins. And Reddit, where I'm u/ Mason Steve Levins. You can find me on Goodreads if that's your kind of thing. And then I also have like, I guess really like a few lesser known things. Like I use like Google and that kind of stuff, if you're really more into that, but less into like, you know, bigger Facebook, that kind of thing. And then really, that's my lot, I guess. Those would be the ones where to find me if that's what you're interested in.
Very awesome. You can find this book, 34 Degrees, lulu.com, amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, booksamillion.com, BAM, you know, many places online. Search his name, search his title, and you guys can find it. Thanks again for joining us, Mason.
Well, thanks for that interview, Shane and Mason.
Absolutely.
Tom, you got a list for us?
Yes, I do. And before I start mine, I didn't include her on my list, but since y'all like WandaVision so much, I highly recommend y'all checking out the movie Wind River. Have y'all heard of that before?
Wind River. I don't think so.
It's a thriller murder mystery. It's got the guy who played Hawkeye. Is it Jeremy Renner?
I think so, yeah.
And then Elizabeth Olsen. And it's a very good one. And I think it's definitely got some Final Girl moments, but I've only seen it once. And it was very, very good and very, very sad. But jumping into my list, have y'all seen It Follows?
Yes.
The cautionary tale of sex in high school.
STD horror movie.
Yeah.
Of course, I can never tell what grade they're actually in, and that's part of like what they did in the movie to make you unsettled. But Jay from that movie definitely, I would say, qualifies as a final girl, even though she's never really out of danger, because the whole thing is like you can pass it on to someone else. But then if the, I guess, entity kills the person you passed it on to, it comes back to you. So they kind of leave it open that maybe she's just going to be followed by it for the rest of her life. But like her, like what they did with the character, and just, I'd say probably one of my favorite movies of all time, and I'm about to be killed.
Don't they kind of keep the time period ambiguous in it as well?
They keep the time period, the seasons. They do so much, because like if you've watched The Shining before, there's like stuff that they do in that movie that like, spatial impossibilities, like there's doors to nowhere, and all of that's designed just to keep you completely like unsettled and build dread. So they do a lot of that in there. For example, like the TVs in that movie are always, they're like watching like 50s monster movies on 80s televisions, and then they'll have like stainless steel appliances in their house. So it's pretty interesting the way they did all that stuff, but yeah, check out It Follows if you haven't seen it. I love it. Next one, not a final girl, and I'm actually playing as him right now, in Dead by Daylight, but Ash from Evil Dead. He ends up as the final person in both Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. I don't think I could leave someone off who has a chainsaw hand. That's a theme of my list is weapon appendages. But definitely like him, been watching Ash versus the Evil Dead. But yeah, that's a recent, endeavor for me. Next up, once again, not a girl, but, and actually he doesn't survive, but Lawrence Fishburne in, Event Horizon, which is another one of my favorite movies of all time. He is one of the final characters to survive or to be around in that movie, and ends up saving the rest of his crew by blowing up the part of the ship that has the gravity drive in it, which is what causes all the problems on the ship. So I love Lawrence Fishburne, and I like what his character does in that movie. Have y'all seen Event Horizon?
Oh, yeah.
I have.
Yeah, one of my favorite movies ever. And really sad that it was one of those movies that kind of got messed with by the production company. And so the director's final cut never really made it out. And then apparently all the copies of it got lost. So there's like we're never going to see the director's cut of that movie, basically.
Which is sad.
Somebody has to have it somewhere in an attic. Or...
Well, they found a copy of it in a salt mine. I'm not sure how it got into a salt mine, but apparently due to the environment of it being in a salt mine, which I assume isn't very good for film, it got damaged beyond repair. So they might be able to salvage some of it, but not very much.
I just want to know the story with that. In a salt mine?
Yeah, it was like a salt mine in Bulgaria or something like that.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, maybe I dreamed that, but I'm pretty sure, I read an article about them finding, I think it was just like a storage space for a movie company or something, but who knows. Next on my list, it's been forever since I've seen this movie, but sticking with the weapon appendage theme, is Cherry from Planet Terror. Have y'all?
I love that movie. I love both of those movies, Planet Terror and Death Proof.
Yeah, it came out as the Grindhouse double feature.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that with my brother and my cousin Andy in the Dollar Theater when we had that in Boone.
Nice. I saw that down in Wilkesboro.
Did we have the Dollar Theater when y'all moved back up here, Reggie?
No, that was closed when we moved here. We've been in Boone for like 10 years.
Yeah, it was a sad loss. I miss I guess it became the $1.50 theater by the end.
Yeah.
That was always a fun place to go. So I saw that in the theaters, the double feature, like all like 3.5 hours of it. And I mean, you can't not have someone on your list that has a gun leg. So that's why she was included, because she has a assault rifle as a leg.
And that was really cool.
That's Rose McGowan too.
Mm-hmm.
And then last on my list, already mentioned, but Ripley from the Alien franchise. I love Alien. I love, I just love it. Like I said, you know, the whole movie would have been avoided if they had just listened to her and not been chauvinist jerks. Cause she was trying to follow protocols and keep the alien quarantined. Instead, they just acted like everything was normal, much like we did with this pandemic. And it led to bad things happening.
Mm-hmm.
So love Ripley, love what they did with the character. I like what they did with gender in the Alien movies in general.
Yes.
While I didn't like in Alien 2 how it was like, oh, like we're in the year, I don't even remember what year it was, but they still had like 1980s style locker room talk going on.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really like that much, but just there were characters in that movie that were really not gendered, and Ripley, especially in the third one, I'd say fits into that pretty well. But love Alien, love Sigourney Weaver, especially in Holes.
Oh my gosh, I forgot she was in Holes.
But that's my list. Really quick honorable mention, I mentioned her in the last episode, but Sadie Adler from Red Dead Redemption 2. Great character. I consider her a final girl because she's one of the only surviving members of the gang by the end. And she's kind of a ride or die who goes with the character you're playing as at the end of the game to kind of avenge the death of the main character. It's one of those games that has like a prologue.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't take any crap from anyone. They didn't use her as like romantic fodder for the main character. So really liked her. That's my list.
Very nice. I knew we were going to have some overlapping stuff going on with us. Ripley, the Scream Girls, Jordan, I really loved your unexpected American Horror Story.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just goes to show that like, you know, final girls don't have to be a girl and they don't have to survive a horror movie to be considered a final girl.
Absolutely not.
Well, this has been a really, really good week. This was a topic that I wanted to talk about from the very beginning of starting this podcast. I'm glad that Jordy was able to join us.
Yes, thank you.
And while we've mentioned before, this is our season finale, but fret not, we aren't going anywhere. We were renewed for a season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because we decided that we're going to do one. So we're going to take a little break and focus on that super secret play that Shane was working on that he told us about. Actually, all four of us are cast members in it. And so we're going to take a little break, focus on that, get some stuff together. And we're going to come back with season two with all kinds of new and exciting things.
Even stronger and better.
Stronger and better. We'll have all of us will have green screen, so we might start doing some fun little commercials for our friends or something. I don't know. We just tell us what you want to see next season. Tell us some topics you want us to talk about next season. And, we can't wait to see you guys again.
Thank you all so much for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And, hey, keep an eye out, 'cause we'll be posting, things that we promised and maybe a few other things. You never know.
Find us on our social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Total Nerd List, and you can email us at totalnerdlist@gmail.com.
Jordy, anything you want to shout out?
So check out Jordy Marie Games.
Give her a like. Tell her that Total Nerd List sent you if you go over and say hey.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to be murdered from a monster very soon. So bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.